Welcome to the DJ Elegance podcast. My name is Benjamin DeGraff. I am the managing director of DJElegance.ca. We are a mobile DJ service. We provide entertainment and DJ services for corporate functions, weddings, private affairs, and other types of occasions. Where to begin? I think I've been procrastinating a little bit on actually creating a podcast. So what can I tell you about myself? I am an entrepreneur. I am an arts-based music educator. And I am a DJ instructor. And I don't know, I'm just gonna kind of go with the flow here. I'm just in a mood to kind of share some of my knowledge for those of you that are listening. I've been in the event and promotions industry for over 15 years. I started doing nightlife events, fundraising events in the not-for-profit sector. Have experience organizing things on a corporate level in terms of strategic growth strategy sessions. And in the city of Toronto, Canada, probably from the year 2007 to 2010, I used to run a successful promotional party called Grown and Sexy. And that party developed a lot of traction. It was a musically themed party. And my appetite to entertain people and be a part of that mix to entertain people is what led that party to grow to a 300 person party, along with two other friends and promoters. And the party gained a lot of traction. I developed a lot of notoriety around the party and doing other A1 type events. I also have a lot of experience in the not-for-profit sector, again, where I've worked for probably over 20 years. And within that sector of work, organize a lot of different events leading from annual general meetings to open houses, to festivals, to fun fairs, to all kinds of workshops and conferences, and organized and booked speakers and DJ talent. So my world is basically all around organizing people together around music, having a great time, and creating experiences. That's things that I excel at. And my current situation is that I manage DJElegance.ca. As I mentioned, we do entertainment and DJ services in a wide array of areas across the Greater Toronto area. We've been as far east as Cobourg, far north as Aurora, and down into the Kitchener area. And from time to time, we've even done some DJ entertainment in the US, New York specifically. My role now is, again, my world is music and people. I have a DJ school under the banner of Love Music Initiative, where I do arts-based educational workshops in the school board and in community in Toronto and surrounding area, and also teach DJ lessons. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about, I guess, practice. So I've started an academy, DJ Academy. You can check me out on social media at lovemusicinitiative.com, or not .com, but it's at lovemusicinitiative, or I guess it would be Instagram.com/lovemusicinitiative. And I've started a school. It's been over a year since I've started the academy, and in that time, I've probably trained close to 20 people. Some have just been curious. They wanted to just learn a little bit more about what a DJ does and how DJing works. So their commitment was really just to start to DJ, take a bunch of sessions, and then, that was kind of it. They had their itch scratched, and then they moved on. But then there's probably just under half the amount of people that I've trained and had the pleasure of working with that had bigger appetites and have now decided to take their DJing to another level, where they are going out doing weekly club gigs, traveling out of town, getting small gigs, private parties, bigger gigs, special events, working with crowds of 300 and 400 people. And so, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is sort of the maybe mindset of a DJ in terms of the beginning stages when you may have come to a DJ academy like mine or maybe someone else's, or you've gotten a little bit of instruction or tutelage, and you know, you've kind of got to a point now where some of the questions you had and the know-how you actually have. So for example, you know how to mix now, or you at least have a better understanding of the concept of how to mix. You understand bar counting. You understand the importance of mixing in a variety of ways, short, quick, long. There's a lot of different transitions you know how to do now. Maybe EQing, you have a familiarity of how to work some of the technology, things of that nature. But, you know, one thing that I guess I've been asked lately is, you know, I want to kind of improve my craft, but it's just like I don't have the time, right? Or my schedule is busy. And I guess, you know, like anything else, even though DJing, if you talk to a lot of other DJs who have been DJing 20 plus years before Serato and laptops and all this kind of stuff, before the digitization of the genre the art form became easier, you know, people would tell you that, you know, there are no shortcuts, right? So I think one of the things I want to talk to you about today was practice and being intentional with getting better and improving, you know, improving your craft, right? Although digitization of the art form has made things easier, there still aren't really shortcuts, right? When it really comes down to mixing better, when it comes to transitioning in and out of different genres, and I guess building a certain type of arc for eventually an evening that you're going to DJ for, where you're going to have to DJ across various genres, or even if it's just playing one genre, but just really tightening up how you present that music to your audience. All that comes from practice and really knowing your music. I think one of the things that I feel as an instructor that I've been told, or that I feel I'm good at, is really focusing on the basics. And that's because other DJ mentors and other DJs that I reached out to, these were some of the things that they downloaded into my mind, my brain, was really being focused on the basics. And the basics were, you know, really smooth mixing, proper track selection, you know, EQing things at the proper levels, making sure that the audio levels on your tracks are consistent, so as you mix from one song to another, that the audio and volume levels are appropriate. You know, not redlining as you're mixing. So redlining means that if you look on the mixer, the audio level or of the channel or the track that you're playing on is like pushed right to the max, and is creating a situation where the sound kind of usually goes green, yellow. If it starts hitting red, that's no good. As we call it, no redlining and headlining. So what that's actually doing is distorting the sound. So you're actually thinking you're turning it up to get more sound and volume, but you're actually making it worse for your audience and their audio experience. So you want to stay away from stuff like that. But, you know, the main thing I talk about is practice. And I know for myself, I have sought out a DJ friend to just inspire me and kind of reinvigorate my juices and my flow and my excitement level around my art form, and it's something that we all need some from time to time, is to be re-inspired, you know, around the craft that we love. So I hook up with him maybe every couple of weeks. He teaches me some new techniques, causes my brain to think about what I'm doing differently. It creates new pathways in my mind, new approaches, new thoughts. And with new thoughts, it creates a new way of doing things. And a new way of doing things is going to lead to, you know, new results. So it's always good to be challenged. But the main thing I'm getting at is practice. And, you know, there's all types of YouTube tutorials out there on things that you can practice or improve on or get better at doing. And I think part of it is finding some time. Even if it's like once a day for 15 minutes, every other day, you know, three times a week, you've got to set a goal for yourself that come, hell or high water, basically, no matter what happens, like, I'm going to make sure that I get this amount of practice time in, and I'm going to work on my juggles. I'm going to work on my transition. I'm going to work on doing some quick mixes. I'm going to work on my timing. I'm going to work on mixing a new song, right? Or doing something else creative, right? Just so that you stay inspired. So, you know, again, I don't want to make this too long. It's just some quick thoughts today. But the main thing, guys, when it comes to practicing your craft is, you know, thinking about, you know, is there new music I can download and organize that I would like to play? When it comes to actually mixing is, you know, again, practicing different styles of mixing. There's quick mixing, one bar mix, four bar mix, a longer eight bar mix. Maybe you're mixing house, drum and bass, or a different genre, EDM. It's a longer build up and breakdown, so it's going to be 16, 24, even 32 bar mixing, right? So you want to just think about different ways in which you can mix different songs, even different songs at different tempos. So instead of just mixing a song that's 90 and a song that's 95 and adjusting the BPMs to match, you know, maybe you try to do a song that's 60 and 120, right? So a little bit more, I guess, harmonic mixing, or mixing in double time, right? So you kind of create a different type of mix, because now you're mixing two songs that are at opposite ends of the BPM scale, but because of you being able to double time mix, basically, if I'm mixing a song 60 into 120, it's that song times two. So for whatever reason, when you align the songs, even though the other song is 120, which I guess would be double time, when you line the songs up to mix, you're actually able to mix them structurally, or with the proper phrasing, you can make it work. So, you know, I would always say, you know, first set a goal for yourself, figure out what you want to work on. Maybe it's a week goal, you write it down. Hey, I want to practice three times this week, and I want to practice more quick mixing or more cuts and more transitions, right? I want to practice my quicker mixing, like one or four bar, or I just want to mix more of a quote unquote normal way, which is like maybe a longer eight bar mix. So that would typically generally be potentially reggae, you know, soca, hip hop, R&B. There's obviously other genres, reggaeton. There's a lot of other genres I may have missed, but for the sake of time and not over inundating you, you know, kind of set a goal for yourself, right? And then actually execute the goal, right? So the only way you're going to get better is by putting the time in. It's not going to magically happen. And, you know, I'll end on this. I mean, all the DJs out there, all the greats, they practice continually. And I believe I remember seeing a YouTube from one of the DJ legends, scratch legend, DJ Qbert. And he said that he lost, I believe it was like a world championship, simply because he didn't practice enough. He got comfortable, he got a bit cocky, and as a result, it cost him a world title. Or it cost him a title. I can't remember exactly the sort of ramifications of what happened, but it was a big competition, and because he didn't practice. I mean, this is DJ Qbert, like one of probably top 10 scratch DJs. That may not be your thing, but for anyone who understands what a scratch DJ does, they have a sort of ninja-like finger dexterity. They have such a great command of, one, not only the technology, but also being able to create a set that would involve a lot of different moving parts to effect the music in a certain way that would give the crowd a rise or give the crowd a level of excitement because of their DJ mastery. So, you know, we're talking a very small percentage of DJs who are competing on those levels, right? And so for someone like that to kind of say, hey, because I didn't practice, it cost me, you know, how much more for us other new DJs, beginner DJs, mobile DJs, special event DJs, or whatever type of DJing you do, you know, how much more important is it than that you or I practice, right? So find the time, make it happen. The only way you're going to become the DJ that you want is by spending that time in the trenches, rolling up your sleeves, experimenting, and have fun. Make mistakes, make lots of mistakes, try to get it right. The more mistakes you make, actually, the better, because then it means that you're probably going to remember what you did. And also, in failing, you're going to find new ways to push yourself and get better, which is what you're going to need, because you're going to be tested sometimes when you're DJing. And that level of resilience and that DJ thick skin that you're creating is going to help you. The last thing I leave you on is that, you know, like anything else, practice. Why it's important is because it gives you confidence, knowing that as you go into your next function or gig, if it's new music that you want to get more familiar with, or if it's just simply getting your timing down better, you know, you're going to feel a lot better going into that gig knowing that you've put in the work and the time, and the results are going to show. It may not show as quickly as you want, but what I would say is that practice, the reason why we do it is because it's an accumulative effect. So if you do something once every day, three times a week, over several months, you know, it's all about multiplication, right? So you're going to be that much better, you know, when it's all said and done, because you've put in that work, and it's the accumulative effect, right? So when you sort of look back at the castle that you're building, all the practice time is kind of equating to bricks in your foundation. And the stronger your foundation is, the better it's going to result in your DJing overall becoming better. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you for listening. Once again, it's DJ Elegance Podcast, and I look forward to sharing some more insights and my own experiences, and hoping that you got some value out of today and were helped by this first ambiguous podcast that I put together. Thanks so much. Take care.